This week's show is brought to you by the wonderful Flowertown Bakery. Flowertown Bakery is a small, family-owned business for over 25 years, located in Flowertown, Pennsylvania, just off of Bethlehem Pike. They offer a wide variety of baked goods, from donuts to bread, from cakes to cookies, and holiday favorites. There is definitely something for everyone during each season of the year. Like them on Facebook at Flowertown Bakery. A big thanks to them for sponsoring our show this week. Flowertown Bakery is owned by the family of our wonderful videographer, Danielle Alio.
You know, for as long as I can remember, people have been asking me what I want to be when I get older. I guess technically I'm older now, but what's the next step? If you're entering that transition phase in your life, graduating college, going to grad school, or even just moving to a new city, we've got something for you.
All right, welcome to the brand new show, Transitions. I'm John Mim, and this is my co-host, Callie McCurdy. Together, we'll guide you from show to show and introduce you to Philadelphia's most inspiring entrepreneurs, musicians, comedians, and more.
There's nothing better than experience itself, and we'll be featuring guests on Transitions that are, to be honest, walking in shoes not so different from yours. Now that you've got a feel for the show, meet the rest of the folks behind Transitions.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get a big round of applause. It's the one-year anniversary of Transitions Radio, May 26, 2011. Let's give a round of applause.
Woohoo!
Callie is debuting her new hairstyle.
It's not new. I've done this, you know. It just hasn't been done on Transition Thursday.
It's new for Transitions. It's straight. It's flowing. It's bountiful. It's a blonde cousin it. I, of course, have shaved my head in preparation for the warmer weather. So,
John, you're just like a dog shedding away the extra hair. You dog, you.
It's not the first time someone said that to me. Anyway, we got a great show.
We do.
We're going to have an awesome interview with the one and only Kelly McCallan from McCallan Staffing.
That's right.
Staffing
McCallan
Specialist.
Staffing.
What else do we have on the menu for tonight, Kelly?
Well, in relationships, we're talking a little bit more about not necessarily Arnold and Maria, but we are talking about the dynamics of divorce, how it can affect a family, and Kim Kardashian's recent engagement.
To the basketball guy, what's his name?
Chris Humphrey.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Speaking of sports, Dan will be talking about Chase Utley rejoining the Phillies, Bernard Hopkins' comments about McNabb, and of course the five worst organizations in pro sports.
Phillies had the longest game.
19 innings.
I think it just surpassed the record.
I was just talking
about how there was a record of a baseball game being over 5 hours long in the minors. Dan says no,
and I'm sure he's... It was one inning shy of
19 innings, but the time. Isn't it the amount of time? Time-wise, not inning-wise. Didn't it pass the record?
It was the longest game this season, both time and innings, and it surpassed a Philadelphia record for the longest game ever. That's the record she's talking about.
That's what it is, yeah.
On And Lights Up, Janine, our very own executive producer, will be reviewing Lady Gaga's sophomore album, Born This Way, which just came out, and apparently Amazon featured it for 99 cents for the whole album. Got flooded with requests for the album. Their servers went down, and it was the end of some people's lives. They just couldn't, you know, they had to wait hours for this album to download, and no one could take it.
What about her fake shoulders? That's what I want to know about. They've been on for a while now.
Come again?
She wore these prosthetic shoulders that make them pointy in her, I forget what performance it was. What was the award show that she performed in? It was like...
All of them?
I don't know, one of the major ones. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she continues to have them on.
She continues to have fake pointy
shoulders. So I don't know where that's coming from, but I do love her. Let's get started right away with Kelly McCallan, who the only question I want to ask her is, where was she last year when we all were like drowning in unemployment?
So stay tuned. We'll come up with an interview next if you want to hear more about it. And, of course, look at pictures of Callie's bountiful hair. Go to transitionsradio.com. Where else can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/transitionsradio, and, of course, the Twitter at transitionsr.
Stay tuned.
So we're here with Kelly McCallan of McCallan Staffing Specialist, and they've been in the business since 1979, full-service staffing solution. Interesting enough, their number one source of new business is through referral, which is technically how we heard about them, was through Janine and Noel, who then brought Kelly here. Thank you for being with us today, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
So you've got, you guys have been around McCallion Staffing Specials, of course, been, since 1979, as Callie just mentioned. Started off with your grandmother, is that correct?
Yes,
yes. So tell us a little bit more about the origins of the company.
Well, she was actually a recruiter down in the city, so she had to take the train down to Philly. It was getting old, and she actually lived in the suburbs around Jenkintown area, North Hills area, and she thought there was a huge need for an agency up in the suburbs because there was big companies, especially Merck at that time was one of the only ones around. So she took it upon herself to get things in order, and she started McCallion Staffing, and she had a great contact at Merck, and that's kind of the inception of McCallion Staffing Specialists.
For someone who's listening now, and maybe for some of us here, especially probably Derek, explain the concept of a staffing company. What exactly do you do?
We work with companies to help with their staffing needs. So when someone is a temp for a company, they're not on the company's benefits. They are not on their payroll taxes. The company doesn't have to pay their Social Security, their state unemployment, their federal unemployment. So we pick up all those costs. So it's a lot more efficient for companies who are having big projects or who have layoffs often to use temps because we pick up all those costs. Now, for the client side, with people coming in, new grads, moms getting back into the workforce, temp jobs are a great way to freshen up your skills and get different types of experience.
When a company's looking for a temp, do they give you specific requirements, or do you guys sort of just fill the holes as best you can, and you know that's the agreement that they make in working with you?
It all depends on the company. We work with Teva Pharmaceuticals and Sanofi Aventis. They give us elaborate job descriptions. We do the drug, the background checks, the whole nine yards, the hair, drug test, everything. For more local companies like little law offices, they kind of just want to see a resume, make sure computer skills are good, and we can just send the person.
So let's say we wanted to take a strand of Callie's hair and
Jesus.
Do a test on her for excessive use of tanning products. Is that something
absurd? Like,
is that something an employer will look for?
No, why this?
They'll
happens.
Go 90 days back of activity.
Yeah, Callie, watch out.
You're going to send my hair to McCallion Staffing?
I might have to. If you want a job with them, I mean, it's cool. But short of collecting hair samples, you do have a lot of different training programs that you offer through your website. Mm-hmm. There is also a blog that offers interview and resume tips as well. What are some of the resume tips you can give us now, some of the most important things, and then maybe we can talk about some interview tips as well?
For resume, make it look pretty. We see literally hundreds of resumes every day. Make sure you don't have any grammatical or spelling errors. It's just really frustrating. Make sure you're applying to jobs that you're qualified for. I have director positions when janitors are applying. So, you know, it wastes time and money to do that kind of stuff. List all your computer skills, you know, Microsoft Word, your data entry if you're a fast typer. Make sure you have a professional email address, nothing like I'm into house, which I saw today. make sure your telephone number works and that your voicemail is not full, because a lot of times we've had great resumes, we wanted to bring them in right away, and we couldn't leave a voicemail because it was full or the numbers were not activated anymore. So I'd say those are the most important things. And like I said, you got to make your resume pop.
Would you suggest something like putting on like bright paper or something of that sort, or doing some kind of graphic designs?
With it online, you know, some people put their pictures on there, but then the customers make us take them off. So because that's, you know, we get hundreds of resumes every day. It's just kind of distracting. With it online, it really doesn't matter anymore. Just, you know, make sure you put your titles in bold or italicized. Make sure you use action verbs like, you know, generated income for the company and stuff like that. And it just has to be clean, cut, concise, and just look pretty.
Sure.
I think it's interesting that you guys have a blog where you offer these tips. And just aside from the competitiveness of companies looking for temps, I mean, I'm sure that you guys are competing with other temp agencies.
Yes, yes.
So do you see a lot of blogging and technological innovations at other companies? Or you guys, what steps do you guys take to make your name stand out?
Well, like you said, there is a lot of competition. A lot of other agencies like Aerotech and Robert Half are huge public international companies. So there are a lot of competition. We kind of sell ourselves on being a small family-owned business. The bigger companies won't go to the lengths to help the people out like we do. They might post big general blogs, but we'll actually help people critique their resumes when they come in. If someone doesn't do well in the testing, we send them free tutorials. They can take them as many times as they want because we figure if we help these people get their skills up to date, we can get them a job. And, you know, they make money, we make money, and it's just a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. What kind of tips would you give to recent college graduates, though? I mean, we can always tell them how to boost up the resumes or go online and take this tutorial, that tutorial. But as I think Callie touched upon earlier, I don't know if it was on mic or not, but this is our year anniversary. And a year ago, I think all of us, if not, you know, just a few of us, were unemployed. We had no jobs whatsoever, and we were kind of coming into this. And Callie might have had a job.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Selling tanning products, most likely, is what she was saying.
Why tanning?
Regardless, Callie, this isn't.
Isn't about me.
I know. How about your thoughts on the situation being recent college graduates?
And the biggest thing for recent grads is you have to be flexible. Mm-hmm. If it's a second shift job that's 2 to 11, but it's a really good rate and it's at a great company, you should really consider taking it. You know, it might not be in the industry that you wanted. For example, I was a pharmaceutical marketing major. Nothing was open in pharmaceutical marketing, and, you know, everybody was having huge layoffs, so I went with the job security position that I have now. So be open to industries. You know, the job you take out of college is not going to be the job you retire from. It's just something to build your resume, networking. You're going to meet people, important people at your first job. As Janine and Noelle know, you need to get office experience on your resume. You can't just be waitress, waiter jobs. You know, that's great. It shows you're a hard worker, but people want to know that you can talk to the phone, you know, talk on the phone, draft emails, you know, and do general office work.
So one thing I was interested in, especially with the rise in unemployment rates, the rise and fall over the last couple of years, do you guys feel a lot of the stresses from people who are unemployed? And I mean, as far as the business side of things goes, you get the resume, you help them clean it up. Is there any sort of counseling services available there to calm people down when they do lose a job, when they are unemployed? How have you gotten any customers that come in just completely hysterical? Or
all the time? We have people coming in crying. You know, it's really tough. It's hard, especially we have a lot of single moms that come in. They can't you know, pay their daycare bills. And then we get the people on unemployment who are afraid to take a job because they'll lose their unemployment, and you don't get taxes taken out of unemployment right away. So it's like a catch-22. What we do is we try to give them hope. You know, we send their resume out. We fix up their resume. We do the best that we can. What we can do for exceptional people, you know, especially this happens a lot with new grads. If we just see so much potential, but their resume is not that great, we can make a personal call to the company and say, you know, this person comes highly recommended. You should really take a look at them and try to put them, you know, ahead of the rest of the people because there's so much competition right now.
Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I had no clue.
And Kelly, obviously, I would get the preferred call if we were up again.
Are you kidding me?
If we're going for the same position,
if I'm tanning as much as you say and I have great hair, I'm totally going to get that recommendation. You just lost your own game. Okay,
I can go tanning too if that's cool, Kelly. I mean, like, and my hair probably won't get as long, but I can make it as blonde.
Well, I'm interested in hearing Janine and Noelle. Our executive producers, they went through McCallion staffing to get to where they are now. So let's open the floor a little bit and hear, you know, how you guys met Kelly, how you came to be.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Kelly. So basically, I got referred to McCallion's through Noelle. And it's kind of funny because I live closer and I didn't know. I just, you know, I was telling Kelly earlier, I thought all the temp agencies were in the city. And it was hard because I live in the suburbs and I didn't have any money to really travel to the city to go look for jobs there. So I was really excited about it, went to the website, got an appointment. And it did mean a lot coming in there because I was at such a vulnerable place. I did a lot of part-time jobs my first year out of college, and I went for the experience in my major, but as comm majors, it's really hard to make money. And so coming in there, I felt very vulnerable because I had just lost my job. But everybody was so welcoming. And I got a recruiter. I took the test, and that was in October. And then I got a couple of positions, temp positions. One was, you know, doing a lot of mailing work for a couple days. And then I was temping for a while at the municipality of Norristown as their receptionist. And then, it's so funny because Noelle and I, everything seems to happen at the, like a week apart in our lives. It's really weird. But she got a job a week before I got that call, and mine was temp to perm. So I was so excited. And it's I work for Triad Metals International, so I was temping with them for a month. And what I do is I'm their receptionist and a data processing associate. So I answer the phones, but I also do all the checks that we get in from the different steel and tubing companies, because that's what we work with. We're a wholesale distributor. So I enter all the checks in. I do a lot of accounts receivable work, credit references, things I had no idea about before, you know, getting this position. And I think the thing that sets you guys apart, because I did go through another temp agency for a little bit, was that every place I went, every place I temped, especially the one I'm at now where I'm actually hired, the people are so friendly. So, and this is an international company, but it's like the it's a big company, but it's on the smaller side of big. Like, we're up there, we're one of the top companies, but we still have that small family feel, and we're headquarters. So I just wanted to thank you personally, because you know, it's so hard. You think, I graduated magna cum laude, and I thought I had it made in the shade, but I didn't. It was really hard. I had to, you know, shift through online applications, and even if they were legitimate, it just disappeared into cyberspace. I'd write like a book for a cover letter. I'd spend all day on it. I tell my parents about it. Never hear back. So to get something through personal human interaction and the testing of your skills really meant a lot. So thank you.
That's good. You're welcome. Thank you.
Noelle?
Well, I first heard about McCallion a couple years ago when my sister went there. She had graduated from Temple, and she was having the same kind of problem that every grad has, where she was just out of school and had a lot of great, like, book knowledge, but then she's waitressing. And, like, nowhere hires you without the experience. So she went to McCallion, and she had gotten a couple temp positions and then started with Teva Pharmaceuticals. And she just loved it. Again, she said the people were so friendly and willing to help. So she was very excited about that, and that gave it a really good reputation with my family. And then when I graduated from Cabrini, I, again, you know, I did very well in school. I had a lot of different positions in the school, but coming out, nobody really cares. So
that's true.
Then going around and working a lot in customer service, I just really wanted to get that office experience because I thought that's the best way to have the business edge. And when I came to McCallion, they were very helpful in, with the tests and stuff, kind of pinpointing your areas of what you need to work on and what you're good at. Then that was nice. That was late last year, and in February, I got the call about the job I'm at now for PSC Environmental in Hatfield, and it's great. People are very friendly, and I'm an administrative assistant, a lot like Janine, and I answer the phones. I also do a ton of data entry, filing, miscellaneous tasks and stuff, and I feel that it is very helpful to have that extra, you know, business aspect along with your college experience, and it's all resume builders. So even though I'm still a temp right now, I'm an indefinite temporary. So I don't know what that means. Scott Koss, please hire me. But it's very, very helpful. And I really appreciate that they took into consideration. I said, I want full-time as many hours as possible. And so the job that I've had, it's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. So I'm doing that. And I'm just very happy. You know, it's a busy schedule, but I wouldn't rather be doing anything else because I want to pay my bills and I want to get experience. So thank you, McCallion.
You're welcome.
So many inspiring stories about McCallion.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, where can our listeners find out more about McCallion Staffing Specialist?
You can go to www.mccallionstaffing.com, or you could give us a call at 215-855-8000, and you can just call and set up an appointment. It's completely free. It'll basically just be a 45-minute process, some paperwork, a brief interview with one of the recruiters, and then some light computer testing. And so, we're also on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Sounds great. And, of course, you can find out more on our website at transitionsradio.com. We're on Facebook. Where, Callie?
Facebook.com/transitionsradio and the Twitter, transitionsr.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get a round of applause for Callie McCallion.
Thank you for coming on, Callie.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, guys, so this week on Relationships, Dating, and Complaining, I'm not quite yet ready. John, nice shades. John's got his shades on. Not quite yet ready to give up on the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Maria Shriver talk. I think there's a lot that goes into it. And this week there were a lot of developments. I know that she did some appearances on Oprah's latest tapings. A lot of people have reached out to her. And there's been some rumors about Arnold using state funds to cover up his affairs. His lawyer did address this, saying that, you know, it's not true. Of course, lawyers are always going to come through for you. You know, and one interesting quote that the lawyer did mention was that Arnold sort of put himself out there to the media. He said, everybody can focus on me and please don't focus on my family. I'll take all the attention. I know I did wrong and I deserve this. But the lawyer also noted, he's like, this doesn't give the media the right to make up things and go off on tangents. And, you know, this isn't a free for all. You still need to get your facts straight. What do you guys think about all this? John, you just look ridiculous.
Facts straight.
I mean, what do you guys think? Did he use state funds? It's an interesting
allegation. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He doesn't need state funds. He needs gun one and gun two and game over. I mean, that's probably how he procreated in the first place, too. They didn't have to do the act. He was just like, look at my muscles. And, I don't know. They watched Demolition Man, and she was carrying his child. So. Janine?
I was going to go off something you said about him, you know, saying, oh, don't say anything about my family. I know last week on the show we had an audience member say, you know, men are weak and like the whole kind of fatal attraction thing where, you know, the maid was young and pretty and all that. But it just reminds me of Jesse James, another prize. No.
First prize winner.
Yeah. And, like, he said the same thing. And then, you know, like, a year, like, later, he's engaged to somebody else and saying that he can't worry about Sandra anymore. So it's like, I really, that kind of statement really bugs me, I guess. It's just like, it's like you were saying last week, like, you can't make up for something that you already did by saying that. Like, you brought them into the situation. Mm-hmm. There's going to be publicity. I don't like when people try to be all heroic about it, to be frank with you. I mean, I know he's the governator, but, and I don't know about the state funds.
Was the governator.
Yeah. Is he not anymore?
He's not anymore.
He's terminated.
He's terminated.
That was awesome.
That was good.
No, I liked it. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him. I don't think he did, but I just still think, you know, what he did was not classy.
I think you're onto something, Janine, and a major thing for, you know, anybody with half a brain to notice is that all of the women are coming out of the woodwork now. And there's been other affairs. And I think, what's her name? Gigi Goyette? Is it Goyette? She was a child actress. I might have her name wrong, but I know it's Gigi. And she comes out saying, oh, you know, Maria and Arnold were in a hotel and I was on the same floor and he would sneak away from her and spend time with me. And it's just like now all of the truth comes out.
You got to strike while the iron's hot.
It's true. You gotta get out there and get your money because the LA Times and Us Weekly is eating it up.
That's what I just wanted to real quick off of that say that, you know, now Jesse James has a book out. Would you want to be standing in line with that book? I wouldn't. It's like...
We're in a Borders.
Dan Schmidt has a copy.
True.
Now.
This is a perfect place.
Dan Schmidt has two copies.
Arnold's book is in the works.
Yeah, Arnold's book is in the works. You know, I feel
the novelator. Like, he's coming out with it. It's just add Aider to everything that he does.
Yeah, it's all about like publicity. So I don't really buy any of those statements. I'm talking to you, Arnold. That's right. And Jesse James, especially. Don't even get me started on Jesse James. I really shouldn't have started on that.
I'm sorry. Well, I just want to analyze that very quickly. He illegitimately had a child 10 years ago just for the publicity.
Publicity, John.
No.
Who's the blonde now?
Me, I am.
Zing. No, but I do want to move on and talk a little bit about... Was that a good transition?
Yeah, it was good.
I just interject. I do want to move on a little bit and talk about sort of the divorce and what's going on with Maria Shriver, what she is thinking. at this point, people are predicting, and I was reading Us Weekly, a lot of people are pretty much believing that by the end of this week or by next week, she will be filing for divorce. That, you know, they're estranged. Obviously, I don't think they're hanging out. You know, there's some pretty heavy stuff going on. But a pal of hers did tell Us Weekly that, you know, the Maria Shriver, she's trying to keep things friendly for the sake of her and Arnold's children, which is really admirable of her, and I'm sure it takes a lot of strength. But they have, you know, a 21-year-old daughter, 19-year-old daughter, 17-year-old son, and 13-year-old son. This source says, as hurt as she may be, she will encourage them to forgive their father. Faith and her focus are on family is getting her through. So I thought that that was pretty inspiring. Noelle, you wanted to add?
I see. That's interesting. I'm glad that she wants to encourage them to forgive their father, because I know Patrick, their son, he was saying he's legally going to change his last name to Shriver from Schwarzenegger, because he was didn't want to have the association. I think that's kind of silly. I mean, you're Schwarzenegger. I mean, that's a pretty awesome last name, despite what your father did. But I guess they really do have that feeling, like they don't want to have any association with them. Then it really doesn't matter who your mother or father is. If you're ashamed of someone's actions, you take any part of that away. So I think their kids probably have a lot of hurt that they have to get over, and the parents need to realize that and not to, you know, just cover it up and swish under the rug.
How could you want to? I mean, I wonder how these kids are dealing with it. They're not young. You know, they're teenagers, especially at ages 13, and I think, what was the other one, 12? No, 13, 17, 19, 21. 13 and 17, those are hard ages. I mean, any time between 12 and 18, you need your father there, especially if you're, you know, especially if you're a boy. And the older girls, I'm sure they feel a lot of responsibility to be there for their mom and be there for their younger siblings. You sort of take on that responsibility. So, you know, I wish them luck. It's hard. And hopefully it sounds like a lot of people are reaching out to Maria and trying to make things better for her. And he's getting what he asked for, which is a whirlwind of negative attention.
Just real quick, I didn't get divorced. My parents got divorced when I was 14, so I turned out pretty okay. So I wouldn't put it so much on these kids to be like, oh, they're going to be shattered and whatnot. They're going to be all right. I turned out okay, I think.
You didn't have the media, though, honing in on your life and exploiting everything that your dad or mother did. You know, I think that's the main factor here is they're going to be public subjects forever, and this is always going to be remembered. So, on a more positive note, or ridiculous note, Kim Kardashian got engaged this past week to, what was his name, Janine? I don't even know. Chris Humphries, the NBA player. Her ring is rumored to be around $2 million.
Whoa.
I know. I felt like he would have gone, you know, that's a little cheap, but... No, that is insane. And she apparently, it's rumored that she might have helped pay for her own ring, which I'm sure, you know, she did, because she's been, like... yelling out that she's wanted to get married for years. I don't know. Thoughts?
Who cares? I hate her so much. I can't wait until she falls off the edge of the earth and people stop thinking about her, period. It's just ridiculous. She started dating this dude in, like, December. Oh, see, I got a round of applause. She started dating this dude in December. Now she's getting all crazy about getting married and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? This chick's a flash in the pan. She's always going to be around. She's always going to be annoying. It's always going to be good fodder for us to talk about, but I cannot wait until someone just ends her. Not necessarily kills her, just like gets her off the planet.
Sends her to an island.
Exactly. Just get her away. She had a sex tape. She came all big and then she's like Paris Hilton. She just won't go away. Like the things you get from Paris Hilton.
One thing that I saw that was, or I heard that was interesting, is that people are saying that Chris Humphries is really stupid for asking her to marry him, because apparently, I didn't even know it, apparently there are laws in different states that if you break an engagement, you have to give the ring back to your fiance, but in California, that law does not exist. So he basically handed her $2.5 million if she breaks the engagement.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, knowing her track record and her boyfriend's, may happen.
That's what I want to end on right there, actually, is I am 100% believe. I know they've been dating for 6 months, but I believe that it can happen, that you can meet that person that is just your soulmate and things can work out. The issue that I have with her and this happening is he's a famous athlete. Everybody she's dated has been a famous athlete. And all of her relationships have been so public that it makes it harder for me to believe. Now, it could be like true love, you know, whatever. But it makes it hard for me to believe that it is just because of her track record and because everything's so out there. It's a little hard to believe. So I don't know. If you have any comments on this, feel free to post on my blog at thezish.blogspot.com, or you can post on our Facebook page, you know, Transitions Radio, Facebook.com. John?
What now?
Quit the giggles. What?
Oh, yeah, you can.
Where else can they find us?
Transitionsradio.com.
And, of course, Twitter at TransitionsR. That's going to do it for us on relationships this week.
This week's show is brought to you by the wonderful Flower Town Bakery. Flower Town Bakery is a small, family-owned business for over 25 years, located in Flower Town, Pennsylvania, just off of Bethlehem Pike. They offer a wide variety of baked goods, from donuts to bread, from cakes to cookies, and holiday favorites. There is definitely something for everyone during each season of the year. Like them on Facebook at Flower Town Bakery. A big thanks to them for sponsoring our show this week. Flower Town Bakery is owned by the family of our wonderful videographer, Danielle Alio.
All right, let's go to Dan, our sports guy. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the return of Chase Utley and what's going on.
The five worst organizations in pro sports as well.
I'm sure this will be a great rant.
It's going to be a doozy.
Dan, take it away.
Take it away, Dan.
All right, welcome back to another edition of the Three-Pointer. Dan Schmidt, joined as always by the coach, Dave Bennett.
How we doing?
Now, a lot going on in Philadelphia sports this week. We saw the return of Chase Utley, finally, to the Phillies lineup after missing the first 46 games of the season. We heard Bernard Hopkins once again go off on Donovan McNabb, which is always entertaining. And then today we're going to break down the five worst current organizations in professional sports. And we'll base these on not only their play on the field, but things that might have embarrassed them off the field. But let's get into the Phillies, and let's talk about Chase Utley returning to the lineup. Returned against Cincinnati Reds on Monday, a game that the Phillies won 10-3, which was more runs than they had scored in the previous week combined. And it seems like Utley just has an impact on the lineup, even if he's not the one hitting.
Yeah, his presence is being felt. You can tell, you know, the dugout's energized. The guys have a little bit more pop and pep in their step. You know, he's a leader. He's definitely a leader within the clubhouse. Actually, just on Wednesday, he got walked, was on second, had a guy on third, and during a timeout went over and talked to John Mayberry Jr. and kind of coached him up a little bit. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but most likely he was telling him some scenarios or talking about guys in the outfield he knows about their arms. You know, that's what a leader does. That's something they've been lacking. You know, you have your Howards and Polanco's, but Chase Utley's really been the leader of this team.
And it's finally someone in that lineup who will be able to work the count. There's a lot of guys in this lineup who just seem to go up there and hack for the fences at the first pitch they see. And it seems to have rubbed off on some of the other players. You notice guys like Jimmy Rollins being a little more patient. Ryan Howard's been a little more patient. Raul Ibanez has really started to heat up this month. But it just seems like the lineup has a different mentality when Utley is in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point now where the best record in the majors, due to the pitching, you know, they had some offensive outbursts in the very beginning of the year. You had guys like Francisco hitting a couple home runs early, 18 RBIs in April and really fell off, things like that. But I agree. I think Chase Utley really is bringing the wake-up call. He's letting everyone know, hey, this is how we have to do it. I'm here to play. I want to win. And I think it's rubbing off.
He scored at least 3 runs in all the games since he's been back.
It says something.
It says something. There's a presence there. Dominic Brown has not looked good, though.
No, he's trying too hard. He's forcing all of his swings, swinging at everything high and inside.
He had a couple chances to win that game on Wednesday night and just didn't get it done.
No, he took no pride in his swing either. There was no patience. So hopefully Chase Utley can get in his ear.
All right, well, let's move on to Bernard Hopkins. Once again, ripping Donovan McNabb. As always with Bernard Hopkins, tremendous fighter.
Yep.
Recently won a title, too. One of the oldest fighter, I believe, to ever win a professional boxing title at 46 years old. He doesn't like Donovan McNabb, though.
No, he hasn't liked him for quite a number of years, actually. Apparently, as the story goes, and I'm going to paraphrase, when T.O. was here in 2004, he was asked to come visit the team and all that, was greeted with open arms from everybody. You know, T.O. gave him a signed jersey, gave him some gloves. He was walking around with his belts and everything, letting the guys wear them. You know, he was talking to John Runyon, Trey Thomas, you know, all the big guys of that time and of that team. And T.O. was, you know, his biggest champion in the room, pretty much saying, oh, I love this guy, I love what he does, you know, really getting behind him. And apparently the only person you couldn't find in the room, or really anywhere for that matter in the locker room, was Donovan McNabb. And according to B-Hop, McNabb had people poking their noses out of the training room, pretty much checking to see when B-Hop was going to be gone, or not paying attention so Donovan could sneak out. Now, there's some holes in this story for me. I don't really understand exactly where B-Hop gets off saying, well, he's scared of me, he didn't want to talk to me, rubbing me the wrong way type stuff. There has to be some more to it. I'm not sure what that more is, because obviously I don't know their dynamic of their relationship before that event. But again, it's pretty funny because we all rip McNabb from time to time anyway, just because it's enjoyable and B-Hop brings it back for everybody to love.
It just seems like a lot of B-Hop's resentment stems from the fact that McNabb grew up in a rich family, and Bernard Hopkins grew up in Germantown, which is not as, you know, rich of an area. And I just don't think Bernard Hopkins ever really embraced Donovan McNabb's lifestyle.
I see that, but at the same time, Bernard Hopkins, how are your kids going to grow up now that you've been successful?
That's the other thing. Why would you resent someone for being successful when you're trying to make a living so that your kids don't have to go through what you went through?
Exactly. It kind of seems like a catch-22. Can't back him up on this. It doesn't fit for me. Yes, again, it is funny. It's comical. Not the biggest Donovan McNabb fan. He did some great things here, but he also was a crybaby at times. So I don't have a problem with him ripping him, especially now that he's not on the team.
Let's get off of ripping Donovan McNabb, because we will definitely run out of time if we continue down that path. And let's talk about the five worst professional sports organization in the world today. Well, in America today, I guess I should say. In the four main sports in America, we're talking baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. And we've compiled a list of five who all have been embarrassing on and off the field. And let's start with the once proud Los Angeles Dodgers, who have just become a mess over the past, it seems overnight that this team has become a mess. Their owners, Frank and Jamie McCourt, going through a divorce that is leaving them almost not being able to make payroll. The Major League Baseball and Bud Selig had to come in and start running the team.
It's pretty bad when the MLB has to take over the team and the day-to-day operations, but what's even funnier is that Mr. McCourt is trying to sue for the right to run his team again when he's had to take out $30 million loans to pay his payroll because he can't make payroll. I don't really see where he's coming on trying to win this battle in the courts. Buddy, just get divorced, walk away, take what you have, be a millionaire, and be happy. I mean, I understand you might want to show your pride in all this, but don't ruin the team. They were once proud. They had, when Manny Ramirez first came there, they had Andre Ethier smoking the ball, still have him. You know, Loney was coming up and strong. Pretty good pitching staff, made it to the NLCS. I mean, but it's pretty bad.
And let's not forget the terrific Los Angeles Dodgers fan base, who, if you're wearing the opposing team's colors, will only beat you to death and put you in a coma.
Yeah, and that's...
That's
awful.
All right, let's move across the state of California, and let's bring in our number four worst professional sports organization, the Oakland Raiders, who just make one embarrassing decision after another, whether it's drafting Jamarcus Russell, whether it's firing a coach who actually won all of the division games, whether it's having a public feud with Coach Lane Kiffin and owner Al Davis, who may or may not actually still be alive. The Oakland Raiders are just one mess after another.
I mean, the Oakland Raiders just can't figure it out. John Madden was pretty much the greatest thing they ever had, and then they got lucky the one year when they had Jerry Rice and Tim Brown with Rich Gannon, and that was like the oldest team on turf. Other than that, I mean, I haven't seen them really do anything to try and get better other than pretty much drafting a fantasy Madden team. Al Davis just overrules everybody he hires, Lane Kiffin, Tom Cable, everybody, saying, hey, we're going to get Darius Heyward-Bey at number 7 and pay him $35 million. Because he's the fastest wide receiver in the draft. By the way, we're going to take a safety in the second round that has a sixth round grade. I mean, what are you doing? You're not really looking at the right things here. Like you said, Al Davis may not even be alive anymore. He could be a puppet on strings. God only knows.
I mean, anytime you can draft a quarterback who likes to drink cough syrup, you gotta do it. All right, let's move back to the world of baseball, and let's discuss our number three team, the pathetic, the pitiful Pittsburgh Pirates, working on a record 18th consecutive losing season. What can we say about the Pirates?
I just call them Mr. Fire Sale. Every year it's a fire sale. They cultivate two, maybe three decent prospects over a couple years. Then they start to flourish a little bit. You know, Andrew McCutchen watching one of them, he's probably the next guy to go, to be honest with you. Jason Bay was another one. You know, guys like that, they just unload to try and keep the payroll down so they can make some money. And I've been to a bunch of Pirates game. I went to school out by Pittsburgh, and it's embarrassing. If they have a Philadelphia Phillies game, it's sold out because the Phillies fans are there, not the Pirates fans.
All right, let's move to the world of basketball now. Let's discuss our number two team. Once again, California having some bad luck with their professional sports franchises. The LA Clippers come in at number two, run by the ultimate sports curmudgeon, Donald Sterling, who has been known to sit near the bench of his own team and mock them.
It's pretty bad when the guy who's running your organization and everything, making big decisions, is sitting next to you, making fun of the players, coaches, fans, all that kind of stuff. That's just bad business, bad ownership, I mean, all around. And one of the other reasons the Clippers made it to number two spot is, what have they ever done? Except for Blake Griffin, subtract him.
I couldn't name one Clipper in my entire life.
I could.
I believe Baron Davis played for them at one point.
That, I was going to say, Baron Davis is the only guy I can name for him year.
That's about it. And that's really all you can say about the LA Clippers. LA Clippers, the redheaded stepchild, the Lakers keep in the basement. All right, let's move on to our number one team. There could only be one team to take the title of the worst professional sports franchise on the planet today, and I believe you know this team very well, as they are one of the Philadelphia Phillies' rivals, the great New York Mets. Yes, the New York Mets recently sued over the Bernie Madoff scandal for $700 million. Owner Fred Wilpon recently quoted in New York Magazine, ripping star players Jose Reyes, David Wright, Carlos Beltran, simultaneously plummeting their trade value. And oh, let's not forget that they are still paying Bobby Bonilla, who retired in the year 2000, $1.2 million a year. There is no more embarrassing sports franchise on the entire planet than the New York Mets.
No, when you're rolling out guys, John Neese is one of your starting pitchers. You got R.A. Dickey. I mean, when you're rolling guys out like that and expecting to win games, it's pretty embarrassing. In recent history, the only thing they've done is gone to that Subway Series in the World Series against the Yankees, and they got rocked. So that's why they're the number one.
New York Mets, owners of an epic seven-game collapse in the summer of 2007 to the Phillies to lose the division. Following year, blew a three-game lead in the final month to lose the division to the Phillies, and have been absolutely atrocious ever since, running out players like Lucas Duda and Brad Emus, and basically whatever they have on hand in the farm system. The New York Mets, the unquestioned worst organization in professional sports. And there you have it for this week. That's another edition of the Three-Pointer. I want to thank Dave Bennett, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Next week, we'll be talking about the five best professional sports organizations. We'll see if any of the local Philly teams can make it up there. But for now, we're going to throw it back to John and Callie.
Dan, great segment. And I can't believe, Callie, that the Phillies went 19 innings last night. That was insane.
It's absolutely insane. It is insane. We have a fan out here who's cheering them on. But yes, go Phils. They won. They pulled it out. No, guys, there really was a fan back there. I wasn't making it up. And Chooch is our catcher, and he was playing third base, which apparently is absurd. I don't actually know the rules of those things, but somebody told me that. So
absurd as absurd can be, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Equally absurd is Janine Gibbons with our And Lights Up segment. I mean, she's not absurd.
Yeah, but what is absurd, though, is Lady Gaga, who I love, but we're talking about her. She's a little absurd in a good way.
She's absurd. And her sophomore album, Born This Way, which just came out as well. So, Janine, take it away.
Hi, everyone. I am Janine Gibbons, your arts and entertainment contributor for Transitions. And tonight on And Lights Up, I have decided to celebrate Lady Gaga's sophomore album, Born This Way, and Lady Gaga herself, because she's transitioning. This is her, you know, second album, and I think it's very fitting. That's kind of my theme tonight overall, the beginning of the second year or something, a transition. So, and she had a lot of high standards and expectations for this album, because after her last one, I mean, I think it was really after Paparazzi, in my opinion, that she blew up. I remember that performance on the VMAs like it was yesterday, and me just looking at her, I mean, it was dramatic the way she ended. She hung herself and there was fake blood in her eye. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Hey, you didn't see that one?
Did you still have the fake shoulders on that Callie didn't like?
I don't know if she had the
new
fake
thing,
shoulders.
John. Jeez.
Yeah. But now she does. And also, along with that, is this new album, which, like Noelle had actually found this out from me and I Googled it as well. Amazon.com put up, like John M was saying, for 99 cents on May 23rd, this past Monday when the album was released, and pretty much crashed the site with the downloads. It just slowed it up so much. But they were actually, I was reading Amazon's reaction, they were very happy that, you know, it was good business for them in a sense. And, you know, it's a good response. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Imagine being Lady Gaga and that happening. And you knowing that, you know, your team created that, which she's very much about. She's very much about the House of Gaga. It's very German, too. It's spelled the German way, H-A-U-S, House of Gaga.
The House of Gaga.
But without any further delay, exactly. Very good, John Mim. I want to get into the album itself. I went and I watched the Born This Way video, which is her title track, and came out right around Valentine's Day, which I thought was very appropriate because for a while I've been going off of this theme of, you know, self-acceptance, and there's been a lot of songs coming out recently all about that, which I think is great. But what I didn't know was when I watched the video, there's like this whole monologue in the beginning. It's a 7-minute long video, and I wanted to read part of it because it's just so incredibly it's interesting. I don't know a better word to describe it, but she says here, let's see where I want to start. Rotating in agony between two ultimate forces, the pendulum of choice began its dance. It seems easy, you imagine, to gravitate instantly and unwaveringly towards good. But she wondered, how can I protect something so perfect without evil? And let me go into that quote because it's a little confusing. But she calls herself the mother monster in the beginning of the monologue, and she talks about how, you know, you're born, it's about human nature, really, and how you're born with the choice to be good or evil and which one you're going to choose, and the pendulum swinging back and forth is that choice. And I didn't really grasp this just listening to the song, but it's, you know, I was watching an interview with her on Jay Leno, and she was saying, you know, it's about people realizing their destiny. Like, maybe even if you're being bullied, because she's very much against bullying and, you know, being put down for whatever insecurities you have, there's always a choice, like later on in your life, a destiny that you can fulfill and change how you are. So I thought that was really deep, and I was like, wow, because I just, you know, I know she's a gay activist, so I really thought the song, just listening to the lyrics, was about that. But the monologue put a whole new spin on it, so I really recommend, if you haven't seen it, to watch it just for the experience, because, I mean, talk about imagery. There's a lot of very sci-fi stuff going on in that video. If anyone saw her in her vessel that she arrived at in the Grammys.
It was an egg.
Take that.
That was when she hatched with the shoulders, by the way.
Oh, there. That's when it was. I knew I saw that. I just couldn't remember the time, so I didn't want to be wrong about that.
She looked like a Conehead family member that got the cones on the wrong part of her body.
Yeah, she has some very interesting wardrobe choices. Let me see. Well, moving off of that, actually, Callie, it's interesting you say. But I was also watching an interview that she had, I believe it was with 60 Minutes did it, before the Grammys. And she was talking about the art of fame, and she pretty much has studied it. Like, you study a subject major in college. She studied how to be a celebrity. And the reason that she dresses that way, or the reason that she personally gives, is because it distracts other people from what she doesn't want them to see. And I think our friend Arnold could use that. Maybe if he just wore, you know, fake shoulders, fake something, I don't know.
Get him some points.
Fake abs, because he doesn't have them.
Pointy abs.
Yeah, because, you know, and she has a point. I think it's very clever, because you don't hear about her boyfriends. You don't hear about her ridiculous size engagement rings. You see her as a performance artist. So I thought that was a very interesting interview.
That could just be because she's smart. That's not necessarily, she studies the art of, like, fame. I'm not disagreeing with you that she doesn't study fame or whatever, but I mean, dressing up like a goofball and then not telling anybody what you're doing outside, that's not necessarily that difficult.
That's a regular Saturday.
Beyonce and Jay-Z, nobody knows anything that goes on in their personal life.
I commend her for it,
yeah.
But I don't think it's that exceptionally difficult.
I would agree with you. With normal people, absolutely. With Hollywood, everybody, I think discretion is a huge issue in Hollywood. It's, you know, and she is smart enough, like you said, to keep her mouth shut. And then maybe
that's
the,
a very rare talent amongst it is. She is celebrities, what she is, please.
I think that's great. Like, I wonder someday if the routine is ever going to get annoying, if she, to her, mm-hmm. you know, because it's so funny that we're talking about this today, because I was just reading an article and it was like a blog post about her fashion. And the person was like, Lady Gaga can't do anything shocking anymore except show up to the Grammys dressed like gorgeously in a beautiful gown to debut her album. That would be shock, like, for her, because mm-hmm. you expect her to show up in a dress made of meat. You expect her.
I don't know. Hanging with like sardines. That'd be pretty shocking. I mean, that's a playoff. Sally. That's a playoff the meat. But I mean, if you had like baby ducks or something.
Well, she wouldn't do that. She's an animal act. You know, she's an activist.
The baby ducks would be Velcroed. Oh. They'd be able to be saved.
That is what I love about her the most, though, is that she had written that she would never get plastic surgery, that she, you know, is all about inner beauty and, you know, promoting confidence. And she's such an activist. She's a good role model. You know, she is.
She really is. And what you briefly touched on, she doesn't make any apologies. And that was my, you know, one of my main points that I wanted to drive home that I like about her is she doesn't say she's perfect. So she's not like a Disney star or whatever who's like, oh, like, look at me. I have all these happy songs and there are no problems, no worries. She's real. And, you know, through that realness, you can become a role model because you're being honest with your fans. And I think that's what they love about her. Just real quick before I throw it back to John and Callie, the other latest hit that she came out with, equally as controversial, but not as shocking if you watch the video, Judas. And of course, the release date, her release dates, her marketing team is very smart because that was right around Easter. But yeah, so definitely check that out as well. And her newest single after that, The Edge of Glory, she's already got 3 singles out. It's amazing.
Yeah, she moves quickly.
She might take over the world one day. But yeah, what else did I want to say?
I think we learned against making celebrities into governors. So I hope that she doesn't.
No,
take over
you're
the
right.
World.
She you're
should
right.
stay where she is.
She's a good performance artist. And what I would say after reviewing the singles and the videos are it's worth a listen for sure. No free no 99 cents download anymore, but I would pay the $11.99, which it is on iTunes, to get it. So 4 stars, Lady Gaga. And I wonder if you'll be able to keep the shock value up. But even if you can't, I think you have some good stuff. So back to you, John and Callie. Oh, wait. Darren.
Don't worry, Callie. She won't run for president because she's not from this planet. So we're set.
Well, there you
That's
go.
True.
All right. Good. That's going to do it for me. Kill the lights. Back to you, John and Callie.
Thank you, Janine. I don't think you can ever just talk about Lady Gaga. There's so much to talk about. So that was an interesting topic. I think one of the most interesting things, John, mm-hmm. is that she's such a great role model and outside of her music, but yet her music can still be completely inappropriate. So you can't always call her a role model, but you also can't call her a bad person. Mm-hmm. You're just like, she is what she is. You
Very know? Influential for our generation.
She is. I know you mm-hmm. you were a little shy to wear your wig today.
Yeah, it was.
In honor of her, but I think you should have done it.
I am a little monster.
Yeah, you are.
Thank
I know.
You. Thank you.
You know, clap for John. He loves the gag. He does. He does.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey everyone, I'm Janine Gibbons, and here is what's going on this Memorial Day weekend and the weekend after that, because I felt like being generous tonight. So, last year around this time, at our very first show, on the big screen, it was 4 ladies, Cosmos, Karaoke, Aiden, Big, Nannies, and the Middle East, with Sex and the City 2. This summer, replace a tiger with a monkey and Las Vegas with Thailand and 4 guy best friends who party so hard they really never have any idea what happened the night before. And what do you get? Hangover 2. It's coming out in theaters. Well, actually, it's out now, just opened. And, you know, we're all really excited for it. I'm pretty sure besides the opening of neighborhood pools this weekend, that is what the majority of our generation will be doing. So I encourage everyone to go out and see it. For a little more gossip straight from the actors while they were on the set, check out movies.com for their review of it. And if you want the specific link for that, check out my blog on transitionsradio.com under my What's on Tap
page. In comedy, due to popular demand, the waitstaff's comedy sketch, The Real Housewives of South Philly, is coming back to the Helium Comedy Club, located on Sampson Street in Philadelphia, on Wednesday, June 1st, from 8 to 10 p.m. Tickets for the show are $15. To watch an exclusive review and YouTube clip from the show, please visit itsalwaysfunnyinphiladelphia.com. Ha, I love that name. Or the direct link on my blog. And finally, in music, as part of the first Saturday Art Walk in Stroudsburg, the great Socio, who is on What's on Tap every week, they're just that busy and performing all the time, will be performing a free show inside Main Street St. Jukebox on 606 Main Street in Stroudsburg, PA, between 7 and 8 p.m., June 4th, from 6 to 9 p.m. So come and celebrate art and music with the great Socio and check out their debut EP, just released May 21st, and witness firsthand their guitarless brand of Socio rock that's been creating buzz throughout the Philadelphia area. And it certainly has, as they were on our show, and Danny Mari, who we got connected to through them. And finally, I'm going to end it with my personal song pick for the week, which is I Wanna Go by Britney Spears. It is a not as well-known song yet off of her new album, Femme Fatale, which it happens to be my favorite, though. It's got a great dance beat, and I love the little whistling sound effect. I will be talking about her more later in the summer, as I am attending her summer concert and living out a lifelong dream. Danielle is clapping. I'm going with our videographer, Danielle. So that's going to do it for me for our What's on Tap Memorial Day weekend special and the weekend after that. Back to you, John and Callie.
Be sure to check us out at www.transitionsradio.com.
On facebook.com/transitionsradio.
And
on the Twitter.
The Twitter, at Transitions R. Congratulations to Janine and Danielle for filling out a lifelong dream there with Britney. B. Spears, I'm glad she's healthy for you guys and not bald. I'm happy for her. I like her. Yeah, she's fun. Thanks to all of our guests, especially Kelly from McCallion Staffing for coming out. Mm-hmm. Kelly McCallion from McCallion Staffing. Yeah. Great information. And be sure, if you don't have a job, to get in with McCallion, because they'll hook you up.
Absolutely.
From what we've heard. That's going to do it for us this week. I'm Callie McCurdy.
And I'm John Mim.
Thanks for listening to Transitions.
Happy birthday, Transitions. 1 year.
We're 1 year old.
We all 1 year old. We all get a blankie. And a binky.
And a binky. All
right. This week's show is brought to you by the wonderful Flowertown Bakery. Flowertown Bakery is a small, family-owned business for over 25 years, located in Flowertown, Pennsylvania, just off of Bethlehem Pike. They offer a wide variety of baked goods, from donuts to bread, from cakes to cookies, and holiday favorites. There is definitely something for everyone during each season of the year. Like them on Facebook at Flowertown Bakery. A big thanks to them for sponsoring our show this week. Flowertown Bakery is owned by the family of our wonderful videographer, Danielle Alio.